Welcome, everybody, to episode 4 of Single in Connecticut, Dating Apps, a Necessary Welcome. Evil in Modern Times. Hello, everyone. My name is John Reynolds, and here with me is my co-host, Allie Weber. Hope you're all doing great on this Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. It's about 4:45 p.m., whatever you want to call that. Today, we're going to talk all about dating apps and whether they're a necessary evil, which ones are good, which ones we don't like so much. We can talk sort of about how they work, their effects on society, and yada, yada, yada. One thing, though, that I want to let everyone know is if you're watching on Facebook, you're probably only seeing it from my personal Facebook Yep. instead of the Facebook page. We had some weird problems when we tried going live. I guess Facebook's really picky because we had no problem going live last week. But this week, we can't. I guess we're not established enough for Facebook, even though we have over 100 followers. Close to 100 likes. Maybe we need 100 likes. Maybe we need to step up our engagement. I don't know. But if you are watching this right now, please like us on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook. That would really help us out a whole bunch.
Yes.
We're going to be making more posts. We got more lists coming up where you can expect that throughout the week. And we'll try to post some more engaging stuff on there. But let's begin. There's a lot of fun stuff for us to talk about when it comes to these dating apps and what everybody thinks about them. Let me share this screen right here. So this is from the Pew Research Center. So key findings about online dating in the U.S. So this was actually over a year ago, February 2nd, 2023. But I think all these studies from the last couple of years ago or so are worth looking at.
Absolutely.
My rule is now if it's a study post 2020, throw it out. Probably doesn't apply anymore. A lot of things changed with that pandemic, especially when it comes to dating apps, because all of a sudden it was, you had no other choice at first when the pandemic first happened. So a lot of things blew up with that. So, but this, some of this data did come from right before that. Let's see, that includes a center survey of over 6,000 adults conducted July 5th through 17th, 2022. Online dating is more common among younger adults than among older people. About half of those under 30, 53%, report having ever used a dating site or app, compared with 37% of those ages 30 to 49, 20% of those 50 to 64, and 13% of those 65 and older. So older people do make up a smaller portion. Obviously, these apps are more centered towards younger people for the most part. So one thing we're definitely going to talk about is Tinder, because Tinder tops the list of dating sites or apps the survey studied, and is particularly popular among adults under 30. So they have this cool little chart right here. Nearly half of online dating users and about 8 in 10 users under 30 report ever using Tinder, making it the most widely used dating platform in the U.S. So here's how their list went. So again, this is from their survey, July 5th through 17th of 2022, conducted then. Most people: Tinder, Match, Bumble, OkCupid, eHarmony, Hinge, Grindr, Her, and Other. So interesting list right here. So Tinder, one thing that's interesting about Tinder is a lot of people get the wrong idea about it. See, you can see it's the most popular dating app. A lot of people still think that it's just for hookups. Now, I'm sure a lot of people do use it. Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people are trying to hook up with these dating apps, but it's just important to use that a large sum of dating users, probably the largest, choose to use Tinder. So if you're interested in online dating, it is worth checking out because it's the most popular. So it'll probably give you the biggest pool of people to look through. I do think that out of all the other dating apps I've looked at, Tinder users seem to be a little bit more normal. Also, Facebook dating, which actually isn't listed here. I like Facebook dating because Facebook dating, unlike all of these other ones, don't rely on subscriptions. A lot of these, I think every single one of these actually relies on subscriptions because at the end of the day, these dating apps, they're businesses, right? They need to make money. Facebook makes money through advertisements and other ways, so they're not relying on the subscription model to make their money. So I like that their algorithm isn't really fueled by that. So, but when I was thinking up the outline for this podcast, and just to let everyone know, it was a really, really rough outline this week because I had a busy week. But when I was looking things up, I came across a Reddit post because one thing that it's important to know is how these dating apps work. And I want to say that we are not experts.
No experts.
About how these dating apps work. We have a basic idea of how they work. So I was taking a look in how do the dating apps work. There was this person, KitKat239. Was on the dating advice subreddit. And he said, I've been off and on all the dating apps over the past 5 years or so. Hinge is the only one I have been on for the past year. Results have been similar. And all the dating apps for me, yes. I mean, all the girls like me are average at best on the blah, 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 attractiveness. He doesn't like the looks of his matches, basically. So, and he goes on and he says, I've been told my entire life by many people that I am handsome, good looking, could model, etc. So when I get on these apps and none of them are above average girls, at least by his standards, liking me back, I know this sounds kind of vain, but it makes me wonder why. I've had multiple girls review my dating profile and they say it looks fine. So I'm not sure what the deal is. I know average looking guys who get 50 plus likes a week from above average looking girls. So I'm not sure if they just know how to game the algorithm in some way or what. It's very frustrating. So that's what
it's all about.
239 said.
It is all about selling yourself. I feel like it's almost like having a job resume, the way you post information about yourself on these sites. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's important to like sell yourself in a way that other people will be conducive to wanting to talk to you. And if you don't present yourself in a very specific manner, women will not want to talk to you. And it has to be very specific coming from a woman's perspective.
So I thought there was some interesting comments on here that I wanted to bring up, but it's interesting how the dating app algorithms work. So these algorithms basically determine how you are matched up with people or how you see the profiles that you see. So a lot of people would like to know how those algorithms work so they can cater their profile or do the right swipes or whatever to get the best results. So, and again, like I said, we're not experts, but I thought these comments were very interesting and enlightening. So I think this is obviously a guy who was coming up with these comments. So he says, don't expect most women to give you great feedback on dating apps. Most of them are way too nice not to hurt your feelings. So that's true.
It's true.
If you just show your lady friend your dating app, they're going to be biased towards you. They'll look, oh, it's fine. This person said up here, I showed it to my lady friends. They all said it's fine. But they tell you stuff like your profile is fine. But what they don't know is that having a fine profile is not enough on dating apps.
Has to be above
you need an amazing, fantastic profile. And that's so
sell yourself
true.
As a lawyer.
That's really important to know if you're going to be using these dating apps. So and they go on and give some pretty good advice. So it's all about pictures. You get likes and swipes from your pictures. It's true. At the end of the day, think about it. When you're using it, are you going to be looking at every single profile when you're swiping left or right. No, that's the after.
Most of the time you click on the one that looks
attractive. You get the results. So let's say you get a match. Then maybe you'll look at their bio. So,
exactly.
And this goes on about that, but it's all about the pictures. So you want to have pictures that people like on there, that stand out, that kind of
not 10 years old,
your personality. And you want to look happy in them. So they don't
updated pictures.
Just people like seeing, I hate telling people to smile, but that's just how the data goes.
It's the truth.
At the end of the day, people respond. They like to see people being happy. So, but another one of these comments. So it says your bio gives you dislikes or no swipes. It's true. If people, your bio actually works against you for the most part. And then this person says, it's where women look for deal breakers and bad personality
and red flags.
It's true, right? Isn't that true, Allie? So after,
and red
after
flags,
you
yeah,
match,
absolutely.
And I've had, and maybe it's true about mine because I've had, and I know so many guys can relate. You'll get excited because someone matches with you, and then all of a sudden you'll see that they unmatched with you. So that's probably because they took a look at your dating profile. And well, it's different because you have so many, Allie.
I know. We have such a
because the ratio is off. So for guys, there's just more competition. That's how it is. And we have a much different experience. So some guy who said he's very good looking, he's been recommended to be a model, and he's having a bad time on these dating apps. And it's true. I've had people who I think are really good looking, and they've said that they've had awful experiences on these dating apps. Well, a lot of it has to do, like we were just talking about, with the picture. So, all right, now moving on, we were just discussing the algorithms. This comment brings up a good point. No one outside the companies knows how these algorithms work. They're proprietary information kept secret within the companies. If
like
someone tells you they know how the algorithm works, they haven't worked at these companies and they're lying to you. It's true. At the end of the day, these dating apps algorithms are specific to the company and the app, and they're made to work best if you give them your money. So how it works. And one thing that I want to let a lot of people know, maybe you didn't know this, is this one group. I'm going to bring up the Wikipedia page for this group. It's the Match Group. So most of the dating apps that you may use or know about is owned by this group. So here's their list of dating services that they own as of December 2023. Match Group owns the following dating services: Archer, Azar, BLK, Chispa, Upward, Hakuna, Hinge, HyperConnect, Meetic, OkCupid, Pairs, Plenty of Fish, The League, and Tinder.
I've literally never heard of 3/4 of them.
I know there's a lot of more unique ones, but they all work differently. And you have to think they're kind of in competition with each other because they're all dating apps and they all probably have a subscription service. So they have to work a little bit differently from each other, right?
Niches. Yes, a little bit.
Yeah. So I know OkCupid, I kind of like how OkCupid works because you can answer a lot of questions. That's how a lot of dating apps started. They would ask you, they'd give you a lot of prompts, a lot of questions to answer. And based on your answer, you'd be matched best with people who had shared, you know, the same.
I think it's like behavioral based. Yeah. Rather than personality based, actually. That one.
So OkCupid gives you a bunch of questions and it'll give you a percentage when you look at someone's profile. Let's say you're a 90% match. So it just gives you something to consider when you're looking at it. And that's kind of why I like OkCupid. OkCupid is one of the best, in my opinion, free apps. Of course, you can pay for it to get a better, more enhanced experience. Maybe a more, where you could see who likes you, stuff like that. I think it's very annoying.
That is $34.99 for just a basic membership a month.
A month? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And I think Tinder is around there too, or a little less or a little more. Some of these places charge by the week.
Yep.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They have different tiers too. You know what I mean? Like one will give you unlimited swipes.
Yep.
And
yep.
Another one will let you see who likes you. And another one will give you a certain amount of... Yeah, and another one will give you a certain amount of boosts where your profile is shown to more people during a certain period of time. Bumble does it, but I think Tinder does it too.
They all do. They call it something different, though. Yeah.
And by the way, it's interesting that we are here on a Sunday because I hear Sundays are one of the most active times for dating apps, usually around the evening time. On Sundays, very, very popular time. So if you're watching us and you're on a dating app, check that out. Oh, look, we got some comments
here.
One comment. Lord Absurd said that he met his ex on OkCupid. Me too.
Oh, Lord
Absurd. Me too.
So I feel like actually, I have more friends from that site than actual exes.
Yeah. So, okay, I had my longest relationship ever came from OkCupid. So, I tend to like OkCupid a little bit because of that. It's matched me with some interesting people. I've gone on a lot of dates from people who I've met on OkCupid and Tinder. I've had minimal success on these dating apps. Like almost everyone I talk to's experience is a little bit better than mine, but I've had a little bit of good experiences with them. Just enough, just a little taste to keep me coming back.
I get it. I know what you mean. Yeah.
So, but look at this. The Match Group owns most of them. So I think the group that owns Bumble is different. Now, Bumble is an interesting app because Bumble
two sections.
You have the whole thing about Bumble is the lady contacts you first on almost every other app.
And so you don't get very far.
Expected. Yeah, you don't get very far. So on any other app, it really could be either or who could contact each other, but it's expected that the guy makes the first move.
Oh, no, it's terrible. It's terrible because the woman expects to make the first move. And we're so used to not making that first move. So we don't make it. So it's just stagnant.
Usually you're just sitting back, just like,
what do you mean we got to say something? What do you mean? I got to talk? I got to actually flirt with somebody? I got to reach out? No. So people avoid that. And my experienced friends of mine just don't like it because it's too intimidating.
Yeah, because they don't like to make the cold opening because that can be a deal breaker, unfortunately. Every little communication could be a potential deal breaker, especially with when you're the guy and the ladies have so many more options and they're just constantly reminded of all the other options that they have. People are obsessed with these options. People have never had this many options just in front of them on a screen before. So I think these dating apps can really have an effect on society. And one thing that I wanted to bring up was this article that I found. So this is from last year, from 2023. This is from the New York Post. Dating
apps are definitely affecting
detrimental.
Mental health. Yes.
Make it harder to find love, says this study. So you agree, Allie?
Yes, because what we were talking about earlier, that notion of doom scrolling, where you feel like you're constantly trying, almost like a drug, you're constantly trying to reach a high of trying to find that other match. There's got to be another match for me. Scrolling endlessly, trying to find that high that you could get from finding that match and repeating the process over and over again. Like you're just so obsessed with it. It's almost like FOMO. Yeah. So I agree. So, I can see how that would be detrimental because it's just seeping you of your dopamine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just to go over this article a little bit, again, from the New York Post by Brooke Steinberg last year. Research published in the journal Telematics and Informatics found that dating apps could do more harm than good in people's search for love. The findings from the University of Vienna showed that more usage of dating apps and exposure to superfluous amounts of profiles can lead to feelings of self-doubt, that excessive swiping, like we were just talking about with the doom scrolling, is compulsive behavior. Excessive swiping seems by and large detrimental, they concluded. So in other words, these apps cause these people to do this behavior, and this behavior is bad. So
it's insanity. It's repetition. Yeah, over and over again. It's the definition of insanity. Yeah.
So it is important to note the age group of the people surveyed. So surveyed was 464 people between the ages of 16 and 25 to test potential undesirable outcomes from using the apps. So
you know how they have
look at the study. What?
Do you know how they have those like games where you can only play so much and then they cut the game off? They should do that with dating apps, like screen time. Like, all right, that's enough. Oh. That's enough out of you. No more looking and scrolling. You're going to, you know, you're going to put a hole in your head.
Have you ever done that to a kid before? They freak out. If they're dopamine. It's like if you do that to a kid and they're watching YouTube and they're so into whatever you're watching, you just turn it off. Then,
yes, like, I know. It's like a reality check. People should be limited. For their own health. I don't know. Maybe self-limit themselves.
Right. So here is the study that we're talking about. So I think it's got an interesting title. 99 plus matches, but a spark ain't one. Adverse psychological effects of excessive swiping on dating apps. So this was by several different people who came together to do this test. So just taking a look at the introduction, because I'm not going to go over this whole thing, but it was interesting. In principle, dating apps can quickly and efficiently connect people, yet the app architecture engages users so powerfully that the average Tinder user logs in 11 times a day and stays up to 8 minutes each time, which may add up to 1.5 hours per day. Oh, looks like you got something going on outside.
I don't know what that is. Is that you or me?
It's you. Me. It's got to be you. Oh. So, but anyways, dating apps reward frequent use as the profiles of those who were recently online appear towards the front of the line, while profiles of inactive users are shown later. Another example of how apps reward frequent use is that Grindr has no push notifications, so users must open the app to check if they received new matches or messages.
Really?
Yeah, so that's interesting how they use that as I mean, I've never used
a tactic
that one before. I have used Tinder, but through that algorithm, it's true. If you're active, it's going to prioritize your profile over inactive profiles. So that encourages people to open it up and do a little swiping throughout the day. 8 minutes at a time can be kind of damaging, though, especially if it's during the work day or whatever. An hour and a half per day out of 24 hours that you have.
How much do they devote to Facebook, then, if they're doing that much on a dating site?
Exactly. So, but I mean, it's a little bit different, though, with a dating app versus other things. It's just like that reward seems so much greater than what you get out
instant
of
gratification.
Facebook.
Yes.
And it's just,
instant.
It's like the carrot, that they're dangling over your. But, yeah, so just for, and I know people who use it a lot more than that. Like people will sit on these apps for hours at a time swiping, especially if they've got the membership.
Oh, so, yeah. They want to take advantage of their expensive, whatever it is, $40 a month membership. Yeah.
It's a lot.
And they get to the top of everybody's list. So they love it. Yeah. So when they pay for that, they get highlighted. So they take advantage of that. They're like, oh, I'm a VIP member. I get the top spot. So that probably contributes to their greater usage. Yeah, obviously, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
but they can pay. They can pay to lie. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. They can pay to lie about what they write down.
I get why people like dating apps and why dating apps are always gonna be around. But it's very interesting to think about the history of these dating websites and apps, because at first, I'd say in the early 2000s, before a lot of these, or just when some of these companies were being founded, a lot of people were not open towards using them. They were very much against them. Oh, that's just for nerds. They were stigmatized. And now they are sort of prioritized over any other form of dating. And that really changes how many people socialize. Because
people are busy,
Getting into a relationship for the most part, or developing relationships, seems to be a very big driving force for being social or human interaction. So now when you've got dating apps, you've got less people who are going out looking to talk to single people. But it's
especially
also
post-COVID.
And it's just definitely a different society now where it seems like people aren't as encouraged to approach someone in person anymore, or people are just
very hesitant, or they
just don't have the knowledge or the practice to do that. But here's what I think overall. I think people are best off using a combination of dating apps, not too many. I'd say pick one or two.
Or
don't go too crazy with the dating apps, because at the end of the day, it's a very big waste of time. You don't want to spend too long on there anyways. But also, make an effort to meet people in person. Go out there, develop those social skills. Keep those social skills sharp, because the less you go out, the less social you are, the duller your social skills are. Yeah, and you lose it. So you'll have the best experience that way. Don't put everything into these dating apps. And by doing it that way, you know that you may come across someone in person and you may have success in person. So that way you're not hurt as bad on these dating apps when you don't get the results you're looking for, which many men just don't get. Because again, think about the competition. I believe, Allie, we've compared this before.
Yes.
With being in a room with someone, right? Like, let's say I'm in a room with you, and it's just me, you, and a couple of other people. And maybe you and I are the only single person. You know what I mean? I have more of a chance getting to know you and starting something off with you if I approach you in person. But all of a sudden, let's say that room fills up with 100 more people with the same drive that I have, you know, wanting to talk to you. And then now you're almost overloaded with choices. And so that's kind of like being on a dating app. You know, you're always overloaded with choices, and the guys are struggling to get noticed.
Oh, they're constantly messaging like, what, did you forget about me? Did you get my message? Like, they don't believe I actually got their message. Like, come on, it's there. You gotta weed through the Amazonian jungle to get to it, though.
So speaking of these messages, my friend, I was talking about this with my friend earlier. And the OkCupid blog is something worth bringing up. Let me just pop this in here. All right. Exactly what to say in a first message. So I just want to say that this is a little bit outdated information. This is from 2009, but I think a lot of this still does apply today.
Yeah,
I know
I'm
in the
sure
beginning I mentioned the studies and stuff, but it's common sense. So NetSpeak equals fail. So you don't want to come off illiterate at the end of the day. All right. You don't want to come off illiterate. This is especially when it comes to standing out in the crowd, in the virtual crowd, rather. You want to come across as literate, not illiterate. So you don't want to say words like that. And as guys, you want to avoid physical compliments, because ladies are used to hearing all the time.
That's all you get. You got to stand out, be different.
Yeah. So you don't just don't say that. You actually have, again, I want to let everyone know, this is all based on old information. Maybe stuff changed, but I think this is still. So the red over here, if you're watching this, means that you have less of a shot of getting a response. And the green is you get a better response just with these words. So you have a better chance using an unusual greeting, according to this OKCupid blog.
Like what? Because we can't conversation. Really see it. What does it say?
So, okay. So, yeah, I know it's kind of small. It says, so yeah. Basically, this is what people talk about all the time. Don't say hi. Don't say hey. Don't say hello. That's a usual greeting.
I get those all because, the time.
Yeah. Everybody gets that all the time. Hi. It doesn't make you stand out. It sucks because in real life, a usual greeting would be okay. But online, where there's more competition and you're forced to stand out, and the lady looking at it, making the choice, is kind of pre-programmed to look for people who are standing out versus people who are all saying the same thing. So you don't want to say, hey, audience, hi, yeah. Hey, how it's going. You're actually better off saying, what's up, howdy, hola, or yo.
Or come off as having a personality. Going? Yes.
Having more of a personality. So think of something interesting. You'll get a better response. And I feel
like a good question would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you, at least from what I've done, I get better results doing that. Like bringing up specific interests. That's another use for the bio is when if
make it look like you're paying attention.
Yeah. So after you've gotten over the deal breakers and whatever. Which, again, is many people's major use for the bio. The bio actually works against you. So I think that's why a lot of people don't fill out the bio.
I don't.
And also because a lot of people don't use the bio. So there's more. You're more mysterious without one. I know it sucks because it's nice to look at the bio though. And get to know someone before you're in too deep or so you don't have to find out down the road the hard way. So bringing up specific interests helps. Yeah. So, and it just, and this was interesting again from 2009. So it's like, if you're a guy, be self-effacing. So awkward, sorry, apologize, kinda, and probably all made male messages more successful. Yet none of them except sorry affects female messages. As we mentioned before, pretty, no doubt because its adverbial meaning of to a fair degree or moderately also helps male messages. A lot of real world dating advice tells men to be more confident, but apparently hemming and hawing a little works well online. So maybe you don't have to be too confident with your messaging. That may actually work against you online, even though it may help you online. You want to
Want to come off as too
in real life
arrogant.
Yeah. But in real life, I think it helps to come off a little bit more confident than nervous or unsure. So
exactly.
And then rule number 6, I thought this was wild. Consider becoming an atheist. Ooh. Yeah, that was what. So just people
really?
So Well, now more than ever, religion isn't popular with a lot of people, especially the younger generation. So that's why it kind of worked against them. But if you're religious, you know, disregard this entirely. You want to find someone who
loves you,
is compatible with your worldview or is okay with that. But it was just saying, going by the data, back in 2009, it did not help you that much. But I thought that was wild. I was like, whoa, okay. So... But that's where things were trending back then. And I think even more so now. And OKCupid does have a couple of blog posts per year. I highly recommend going through those blog posts and taking a look. It may give you a little bit, not all of them. Some of them do. Some of them are very minimal. But I think some of this dating information is very fascinating. So based on the data, because the data in many ways speaks louder than what people say. The data may actually show the opposite of what people say. You know,
I feel like
what
people
really
on OKCupid were very persistent, in my opinion.
What do you mean?
My experience with it stood out as an app where the men just wouldn't stop messaging me.
They wouldn't stop messaging you.
Yeah, like they just like were very persistent. I remember saying, okay, I think I've had my fill of this. It's just kind of like a POF to me.
Yeah,
they're kind of similar to me. I don't know. Those
plenty
two
of fish.
Yeah, POF in that one. They had always had like a lot of matches, just weren't the best quality matches in my opinion. Those
I gotcha. But let's say hi to Kevin, who said hello.
Hi,
great
Kevin.
To see you too.
Good to see you again, or read from you. Yes.
And Kevin also says men are thirsty. Yes, Kevin. Men
Kevin knows. He knows
thirsty.
All about the Yes, he knows all about that. He's seen me on my lives, so.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting though that you have those lives. So that works with plenty of fish, right? Your lives.
So it's attached to I could be wrong here, POF, Zeusk, and MeetMe. And I think there's another one also. But yeah, they're all, and it's interesting because as you're going down the list of dating apps, they're not all attached to that match group. So I don't know why the live streams attach to certain ones, but like yeah, so
I think it's related there, to plenty dating, of fish. Some aren't. Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, okay. So yeah. So I'm on there and yeah, it's for talking to people, but you don't have to be in a relationship. There's plenty of people on there that are like in, you don't have to be single. I mean, but there are plenty of people on there in relationships that go on there to just meet friends. It's almost like a meetup app, but meet up on, you know, on the, through a video camera, but I've met friends through that app. MeetMe is a great app. I really believe in that app, but it's not solely for dating, but that's one that should be talked about more. Yeah.
I do think that's interesting, and I like that because you can actually see someone on video before. So it's not like you're going to get catfished the same way as you would on Tinder or OkCupid by looking at someone's old photos. Now, that brings up something interesting that I was looking at that was brought up on one of the OkCupid blogs. So when it comes to photos, the better the photo looks, the higher of a chance that photo is older or a couple years old.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, so in other words, don't get your hopes up if you see a really good photo of them. It may not reflect reality. So,
and the person's really 20 pounds past that weight they show you. Yeah.
Well, you know, life happens, right? Like a couple of months can add a couple of pounds depending on you know, what you eat.
Use an updated photo, though. Like, come on.
Everyone should have an updated photo. You should at least be
Don't fool anybody.
At least every couple of months so people know what they're getting. But the good thing is, exactly. If you use a service like MeetMe or Plenty of Fish where you can do video video streaming. And that's another thing. You should probably verify and vet people through mediums like that. Like through video chatting because
they verify
meeting
up
in person easier. Yeah, so you're not meeting someone and getting totally thrown off.
The app verifies it for you. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
because days there's a lot of scams out there, and people need to be vigilant. People need to be ready. I always like to say sometimes if it seems too good to be true, it often is. So make sure you are vetting people on these apps. Make sure that they're not just taking advantage of you. And again, if you look at their photos and they're all super amazing photos, maybe you should be a little bit leery. Like maybe you should reverse image search those photos because they could very well be photos. And even even the ones that are verified these days, Allie, can be scammers. Point, yeah. There's a weird process with the verification, and then they just delete those photos afterwards, so then they're verified. But yeah, so I talked a little bit about my good experiences on these apps. I've met some interesting people through OkCupid, through Tinder, even through Bumble. I remember I met one really interesting person from Hinge. So overall, I don't regret using these apps even though they haven't exactly found me what I'm looking for, a long-lasting relationship. It's ironic because if the app works to like the most desired result, you're going to delete the app and stop using it and stop giving them money. So
unless if you're me and you're using a free app and they kick you off because you have a picture of your cat up there. So
really?
That was fun. I got kicked off POF for having a literal picture of my cat, like on my chair. Because it says, they give you a disclaimer in the beginning, don't put up a picture of anything that's not you. so they take it very seriously.
Well, in a way, I kind of appreciate that because it is really annoying.
There's other pictures of me.
There's other pictures of you, but it is kind of annoying when you go on a dating app and there's only one picture and it's not them. Oh, you gotta wonder what are those people thinking? It's like, oh yeah, here's a picture of a cat,
or it's a meme,
right on that,
or meme,
I'm just gonna take a chance, even though there's a really high chance that I'm not physically attracted to this person. I don't get why.
I know what you mean. Yeah, men love that. To do that. Yeah,
they do.
They don't. They like to put up a meme and nothing else.
Yeah,
no picture of themselves. Yeah.
So
if you want a face picture, honestly.
Yeah. So we talked about a lot of apps that were very well known. How about some unknown ones, ones that are not as well known? So do you have a little bit of a list, or do you have some ones you want to bring up that maybe people don't know about?
Yeah, I just think it's interesting. I was doing some research and I found this thing called Silver Singles. That's for people that are over 50.
Okay.
And about 381,000 new members every month. So that means there's a lot of people in their golden years looking for partners. And some of these sites for older people have live streams. So like imagine someone in their 50s doing a live stream with somebody else.
Yeah,
and
right?
Then there's somebody. I can't imagine that. Yeah. And then they're doing the old, like, yeah, I hate to say it. People.
It's like the boomer angle, you know?
Yeah, the boomer angle. I was just going to say it.
That's the boomer angle is like this.
Or scrunch up your chin and do that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, that's an interesting one. Then there was another one I came across called Elite Singles, where 85% of the people on that site have a higher education. So they literally cater to people that have their college education. So those were the ones that I thought were really interesting. And then I found in my studies that the most popular one of all, obviously probably to most people, is eHarmony by far. There's more than 10 million.
I hear that's a good one, actually.
Yeah, every 14 minutes. If you're going to, someone falls in love, according to them. Someone falls in love.
If you're gonna put your money towards anything, you might be better off by doing an eHarmony or Match.com, because they do work very differently, apparently.
Yeah.
Than these other ones that are more swipe oriented. Now it seems like most of these dating apps are very simplified. At the end of the day, swipe right if you want someone. Swipe left if you don't. One that I wanted to bring up that a lot of people don't know about is Field. So what if you're into, so it's for those people. So I know there's, it's for like people who are swingers, or if you're polyamorous, or if you date multiple people, it's more of a containment app for them. And people, if you're, that's what I like to joke about, because it's real annoying if you're monogamous and you're on these apps, because there's more polyamorous people and more ethically non-monogamous people than ever. I was reading on one of the OkCupid blogs from 2022 that every year it just gets more and more popular, more and more mentioned on these profiles. So if you're monogamous and you come across someone who's ethically non-monogamous, or vice versa, that's going to be an automatic no. So which can be a little bit frustrating when you see that. So maybe if you are like that, you might be better off using Field, or if you are someone who's a little kinky, as they say, who's interested.
If you're truly polyamorous and not looking for
Or if you're on on one of those websites like FetLife or whatever, it's also for people who are into stuff like that. So that's an interesting website. That's definitely more revolved around people who are looking to hook up. So I figured I'd mention that, because I know that's what a lot of people like to use these apps for. But for that, you might as well be straightforward with people. You might as well not waste your time, waste other people's time, because if you're like me, you're looking for a serious relationship with someone on there, and you only want to talk to those like similar minded folk. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good for people who are similar minded to find each other on these apps, especially now more than ever. Everyone's got to be a part of some sort of club. So maybe you want to find someone who's in the same club as you.
Exactly.
Whatever that is, whether that's like sexual orientation or gender or dating style or political affiliation. Or I think there was one where farmers meet. Have you ever seen those only? You know, maybe you only want to date someone who's a farmer. You know, because everyone else doesn't understand the farm life. So
they don't know what it's like to live off the grid.
Yeah. So I, you know what I think would be interesting? So I've always had an idea because I work, so disclaimer, everyone, I work for the United States Postal Service. That's my day job. So I started off delivering mail, and there's a lot of people who are carriers, couriers, people who deliver packages. I think you could have a whole dating site that revolves around those people.
Wow.
You know, like all the USPS people and the UPS and the FedEx and the Amazon and the DHL, all those people just get together on there, you know, because it's all a specialized field. Or maybe someone who's in the healthcare sector, maybe make something doctors only, or people where you doctors, nurses, people who work in that field. I'm sure they have something like that too. Everybody Google after the podcast. I'm sure they have some very specialized dating apps these days. So check all of those out now. But Hallie, we were talking about this earlier. People are just so obsessed with swiping, and so much so that they're rude about it. We were laughing about how we were both out at one point, you know, separate times, separate dates, and someone was swiping right in front of us. It's like, hello, you swiped me. Shouldn't we?
And you looking at it as they're doing it, like, what do you, and then how do you answer, like, the question? Are you talking to somebody? Like, they're right next to you.
So you tell your story and then I'll tell mine.
Oh no, it happened where I was like literally going online, I think to delete my account. And I noticed the guy was online also. And he was like,
oh at the same time?
Yeah.
Were you deleting it?
I was deleting it, I promise you. I wasn't on there to Yeah.
So you were deleting it because it was work, everything was going so well with that person?
Yeah. So then I went on another time just to check before I deleted it. And he was still on there. I'm like, all right. And then so anyways, the story amounted to this person was talking to another woman. And this doesn't actually never happen in my life besides this one time, but it was from after a dating site. And then I became very close with the girl. And we just like both stopped talking to the guy that we were talking to. Is that funny? So I ended up with almost a best friend out of that from a dating site scumbag that just could not like pick a girl to talk to. And then just couldn't help himself, but to go on and scroll. And, you know, it was like a drug to him. I really compare it to a drug to some, for some men.
Well, I'm glad that one had a happy ending. And yeah, it kind of does work the same way as a drug. And it's like you're taking a hit every time, you know, or when you get a match that really, you know. Yeah, so with mine. They just open up the app. But with mine, so I don't know. I think I might have said something that pissed her off. So I think she wanted to let me know that my chances weren't very good after that, so she started swiping right in front of me. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? That things were not going well.
Such a coward move.
So, well, I didn't meet up with her after that because I realized things weren't going to work out between her and I. She was very different. She was a little older than me. She was very sweet. We had some chemistry. We had gone on multiple dates, actually, but she had three kids, and I don't think she was going to have another kid. Or I felt weird asking her to have another kid because I think her oldest kid was like 16, and another was like 10, and the other was like 7 or 8. So it's like, whoa, you've had three different kids.
Yeah, it's an awkward conversation.
I feel like it would be – yeah. So even though I think maybe she would have been cool with having another one, it's just like – you're going to walk in to be stepdad with three kids.
Yeah, and
so at the end of the day, it just wasn't going to work out. So I think I had said something prior to that where she totally counted me out, but I couldn't believe it that she was actually swiping right in front of me. It's like, whoa, all right. Well, I guess,
I guess
you're disqualified and I'm disqualified. So let me get the bill and get out of here. So, but we did remain friends and we're still cool with each other. I don't know how she's doing. I think last I checked, she was actually engaged. So,
wonder if they're from a dating site.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's how she, so she was very popular. She was going on date. She let me know too, you know, like that. Have you ever gone out with someone and they let you know that you're not the only one they're talking to?
Sure have. Yeah. It's like, they love it. It's like, it gets a confidence booster for them.
No, I get it. Modern dating, people like to talk to multiple people at once because there's
options. Because they're not exclusive yet. Yeah.
Because they're not exclusive yet. You know, maybe you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Maybe you don't want to get too upset if something doesn't work out. But for her to just be so straightforward about it, it's just like, damn, I don't want to have to be thinking of my competition when we're just trying to go out on a nice date.
Yeah.
Right. So, but the struggles of modern dating, and that they will continue.
They will.
So, but I've actually, my own personal experience with the dating apps has been good lately. Like I said, my best experience lately has been through Facebook dating. If you're on Facebook and you're single, I encourage you to check that out. It works off of your friends list and people who are sort of nearby, even though sometimes it does pair me up with people who 100%. Are miles and miles away, which I think
it's one glitch about the dating system. Yeah.
But yeah, I've also made some cool friends from there, and it's been a great experience. And I've had a few almost girlfriends from there as well. You know what I mean?
I've made more friends than I think. Yeah, me too. More friends than actual boyfriends. Yeah.
You know what I mean by like an almost relationship though?
Yes, a situationship.
Yeah. It's almost, yeah, it's just like it's this close away from being a relationship, and then something is just like there's a little bit of uncertainty whatever, and then it just ends up falling through. You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Never quite makes it.
Never quite makes it. Isn't that lovely? But all right, Allie. Well, this was fun. We're going to meet up again next week. I don't know what our next topic is going to be about, but like I mentioned last time, we are looking for matchmakers. I want to talk to someone who's a matchmaker, whose whole job it is. You know, before we had these dating apps, we had these matchmakers. Now, we're looking at some of these matchmakers online earlier. I know Allie was. She sent me some, and these girls are expensive. So I don't think they have time to talk to us, especially when they're charging, what was it, like 3,000, 1 million? One lady charges $1 million for a year of her services.
Oh, my goodness.
Or 300. Oh, wait, no. She has tire price, 300,000 to 1 million. But either way, I want to talk to someone like that. I want to pick their brain. Anyone who deals with making events that's catered towards single people, I want to talk to you, especially if you've got a business that revolves around that. I recently contacted a guy who does singles nights. That's his whole thing. And he sells tickets at the door for singles dance parties, and only single people go, and I don't think they have alcohol or anything like that. I would love to talk to some person who does something like that. So if
anyone related, you know, to someone
like that,
please
reach out, let us know.
Greatly appreciate it.
We're gonna have
we
will appreciate it. And I just want to let everyone know we're going to have some more Facebook posts. We're going to talk about some more great places to go. I know we didn't really bring up a whole lot of places to go on this podcast because there's just so much to talk about when it comes to dating apps.
Yeah.
And I know we'll be talking more and more about dating apps as we go on, because dating apps are always part of the whole this whole era of modern dating. They're probably never going to go away. But anyways, everyone, if you haven't, please follow, subscribe, like us on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble. You can listen to us on all major podcasting platforms. You can listen to us basically wherever you listen. And
on your way to work.
Let everyone know. On your way to work. On your way to work. Mm-hmm. So, well, everyone, stay single.
Have a blast.
Until next time.
Peace out, everybody.